let me bang.
I do let you bang.
Hey, let me bang you, Jamie, man.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Greetings, nerds and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, for gay Jesus, people.
And I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Yo, what's up, people? It's me, Adam Hunter. I'm here with a brand new MMA Roasted podcast, or whatever this podcast is. I don't even know. I took a Zoom. So anyway, I wanted to apologize. Last week we did a great podcast. I had Henry Cejudo on. I had Mayhem. It was Don. Everybody was there. It was hilarious. And I don't know. I think Zoom changed their format or something, but it didn't record. It was my fault. It wasn't Zoom's fault. It was my fault. I thought I pressed record, and I didn't. So I was beating myself up the whole last couple, all week long, because it was a great podcast and I can never get it back. And it was Don and Henry yelling at each other the whole time, or not, I mean, just, you know, not yelling, but just making fun of each other. It was really, really funny. At one point I said they should have their own sitcom, and Don's like, yeah, it'll be called One and a Half Men. So I guess it was our own personal podcast. But I just want to say, I truly do apologize to you, to myself. I screwed up. And now I'm trying to get Henry back, but he's helping his cousin coach a wrestling team. He's very busy. He's got a new movie coming out with Adrian Greener, the guy from Entourage. And yeah, he's like the second lead in it. So I was plugging that movie. Make sure you go see it. I think it's on Amazon Prime right now. I don't even know what it's called. Let me see what it's called. I probably should. Henry Cejudo movie. Yeah, this anyway. So I was really, really upset about that. My wife said she hasn't seen me that upset in a while. But today's going to be a good podcast, or it's supposed to be, but because I texted everyone in the group chat, hey guys, what day? It's called Self-Custody. It's a Bitcoin-themed action thriller short film. Yeah, so make sure you check that out. So, and everyone said on the text, hey guys, you guys good for Thursday? Yes, 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 yes. I lined up some guests, ready to go, and now no one's here. So I could either wait for everybody to be here. I'm just like, fuck it. I'll do my own show. And hopefully they'll come along. You know, it's like I told my 7-year-old, which maybe this isn't the best advice for a 7-year-old, but I'm like, listen, you want something done, you got to do it yourself. Don't expect anyone. Like Chris Rock has a great, I always think about Chris Rock, because all these comics are always like, you know, no one's helping me out. I don't have a manager. I don't have an agent. I don't have this. And I heard some great advice from Chris Rock, well, not to me, but just I read some advice saying that, you know, when somebody's stuck on the highway, right, and you see a car, you see a guy trying to flag everyone down, everyone just drives past them. Not everyone, but most people just drive past them. But when someone's trying to push their own car, people will pull over and help them. And I think about that for my career. I think about that for life. Just push your own car, and then some people will come and try to help you out. Do not expect to wave people down. Everyone will just pass you and think you're a serial killer or a nut job or whatever. So here I am. We have a great podcast today. I'm interviewing the non-binary ninja, who is she's a fighter. She's fighting Jita, the Man-Eater, in the first trans belt. So we had Jita on. I love Jita. She's awesome. Great person, funny, cool as shit. And then her opponent reached out to me, the non-binary ninja. And I'm like, yeah, of course we'll have you on. So yeah, a little bit about me. I was planning on telling everyone about my day and what else is going on in my life, but no one's here but me. So, but I'll just tell you guys to the 1,000 people or 2,000 or 5,000 or 5 million, whoever people want to actually listen to is who I'm talking to. And I don't care. Cause like a lot of times I'm like, should I even do this on my podcast? Should I even tell this story? I told this story before. And then I'm like, it's my fucking podcast. Like, you don't like it, don't listen. I'm not forcing anyone to listen. Anyway, So yeah, the last couple of weeks have been crazy. I did a show, Shannon Rich, who is a fighter, if you don't know, who's had like 500 fights. Now he also worked for Blackwater. He was in the army. He's now promoting comedy shows, which is probably more painful than the rest of his stuff he did. So he flies me out to Arizona. It's a like the it's at the Hyatt, and then Shannon's a hustler, but for some reason, he's like, hey, you want to do my comedy show? It pays this, that. Yeah, I'll do it. Great. Next thing I know, I'm on a flyer for a pool party, which was pretty awesome. But my wife's like, why the fuck are you on a flyer with like Playmates? So Shannon's the kind of guy that he'll ask you to, like, he'll invite you to a show or to do a show. Cause then I'm like, hey, Mark Kerr hit me up, the Smashing Machine. He's like, I want to come see you. I'm like, yeah, I'm like, go ahead, can you put Mark Kerr on the guest list? Next thing you know, Mark Kerr's on a flyer for a meet and greet within like a minute. Shannon is a hustler. So Mark Kerr was there, Dan Severn, and it meant a lot to me because Mark Kerr was the guy that I loved MMA. Like, I used to watch the Smashing Machine. If you haven't watched the Smashing Machine, okay, which I would assume most of my fans have watched Smashing Machine, but are people that listen to this podcast, it's amazing. It's the saddest, craziest, sickest documentary you'll ever see in your life. And it's about Mark Kerr and his journey into pride. And you know what I actually think about this is that Mark Kerr and Kurt Angle had like eight matches and they both won four. And in college, Mark Kerr won by 1 point the last one. No, Kurt Angle won by 1 point. He goes on and wins the Olympics, gold medal, becomes a pro wrestler. Mark loses, goes on to become the Smashing Machine. So, like, what if, you know how you do those comic books when you're younger? Like, what if Superman fought Batman? Or what if the Green Guy, whatever? What if it flipped? What if Mark Kerr would have won by 1 point? Like, would he have won the gold medal? And would have Kurt Angle been the MMA guy? Like, this is the shit that keeps me up at night. Anyway, Mark Kerr came. And Mark Kerr, I interviewed him a long time ago with Josh Barnett, one of my best interviews I've ever done. The sound is horrible. It's on YouTube, but it was when Mark Kerr was like, he wasn't in a super high point of his career, but it was just sort of like he would tell me these things. And it was me, Mark, and Josh. And it was probably the best interview I've ever done in my life. Not that I'm an interviewer, but because I listened, I actually just. It was like I was a fan. I wasn't really like a, fucking journalist. And Mark Kerr said something to me. He goes, listen, back in the day, like, if I wanted to fuck you up, I could take you down and fuck you in the ass, and there's nothing you can do about it. And I think about that because, and it, like, you think about that sounds really gay. I mean, that sounds like Don Lemon orgy, like bathhouse, like just dicks everywhere, gay. But it's not. The way he said it was not gay at all. It was like the manliest, like basically it was like there's nothing. And I actually brought that up when I saw him. I'm like, dude, that was the gayest thing I ever heard in my life. But it wasn't gay. But Mark Kerr, and I'm on stage and I'm like, Mark Kerr is here. And Dan Severn. Dan Severn was like the guy also. I watched, what was it, UFC, which I don't know what UFC it was, one, two, or three, where Dan Severn versus Royce Gracie, where Dan took him down and just beat him up forever, like literally just for like an hour of just him just pounding him on top of him. And then Hoist won. And that was crazy. So I said, Dan Severn's here and Mark Kerr is here. And I'm on stage. Like, this means so much. And I go, and Shannon Rich, who combined MMA and WWE, where he would lose on purpose, which I don't, I'm look, I there's no proof that Shannon Rich lost on purpose. But he did go on these like 25 fight losing streaks where some of the ones he lost were like by standing guillotine. Like, how do you lose every time by standing guillotine 25 times in a row? Anyway, so Sean McCorkle's here. So no,
What's
everyone, we took this survey of when can you guys do this show, and nobody. So I'm just talking to myself at this point because I'm like, fuck it.
That
Yeah, I'm just like, fuck it. No one else is gonna talk to me. So.
know how I feel.
But I was saying about how bad I felt about deleting the last podcast. Not recording it, not even deleting it. If I deleted it, I'd actually feel better. But because it was, but the sound was off, right? The sound was kind of,
Yeah, it was pretty rough.
yeah, the sound was kind of rough. But the Don Fry, Henry Cejudo back and forth.
Dude, you'll never be able to replicate it either. You'll never be able to get that natural again, like organic. That was amazing.
Oh, God.
I was the one that stirred that up, too, the one that brought up that Henry was just mad that Don had roasted him to his face last time. So,
dude,
I do think people would love to hear about how I apparently butt-dialed you or hit you up the other night.
Yeah.
Like, from a text, yeah, from an old, I guess you could tell it and I could tell my response to it.
Well, basically, it was like 3 a.m. and, you know, I'm in Vegas. You know, I every day I got to do 5 hours. People don't realize, they think I just write jokes for Gutfeld. Literally, I get like 100 articles a day and I have to go through them and come up with like 20, 21 liners or 20 for the monologue and this and that. So I'm up there and this, sometimes you just hit a wall. I mean, you sit there, you're like, there's a joke here somewhere. And it's not even like I could just read the head of the articles. I have to deep dive. And look, this is not poor me. I love this. Like, this is the greatest fucking job I've ever had. I'm blessed. And there are many comedians that, so it's not victim, but I do get stuck. You're just sitting there. You're like, so all of a sudden out of nowhere, McCorkle, it's like, hey, when's your deadline? And I'm like, I don't know, 9 a.m. So then I'm like, all right, can you help me with this joke? And then you start like talking about something completely different.
Yeah, it was, I apparently had butt dialed. You accidentally resent a text to you that was from 2 months ago saying, what was your deadline on something else you were asking me out? So it wakes me up at 5 a.m. and you're like, can you help me with this joke? I'm thinking, yeah, because it's not like I'm working 90 hours a week. I'd love to at 5 a.m. And so my jokes made no sense reading them back the next day. In my stupor, sleeping stupor, it seemed like it made sense. But you were like, oh, great, thanks. That's all you had to say back. And I was like, man, it's not a bad joke and this and that. And then I was like, well, wait a minute. Like, what deadline? Because I was like, is it a bit or a joke? You're like, no, it's for Gutfeld. And I'm like, then I'm trying to figure out. And then I realized that you must have thought I asked if you need any help with anything.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, or whatever.
I was like, oh, shit. Like, I was like, oh, this is great. I don't know how Sean, maybe I tweeted something or post something where you're like, oh, it set something off where you were thinking about it. But I was like, you know, but the problem, I mean, Sean, you have great jokes, but the problem is like, it's got to be, there's definitely an economy of words on these jokes of like, yeah, like eight words or less. And like, yeah, your punchline was like 3 sentences longer than the setup. So
right.
I didn't know what, you know, I'm not going to be like, oh, dude, that's anytime anyone helps you for free, I feel like you can't be like, you know, hey, you know, that sucked. Like, I'm not just, what am I going to say? And it wasn't bad. It just wasn't, but we were just having two completely separate different conversations.
Yeah. And I wasn't awake and I thought you were just wanting help on a bit. It's about Sharon Stone. I was like, dude, is this like I tell jokes from the 90s? Like, what's going on here?
Oh, and so, yeah. The joke was that Sharon Stone said she lost custody of her kid after she spread her legs in Basic Instinct. And I was just trying to go, all right, is this become a fucking Kamala Harris joke who spread it and then became the, I was just trying to think of how do I make this funny? And then you're like, all of a sudden talking about NC-17, it kept going. And I'm like, yeah, okay.
That's not only was that movie should have been rated NC-17, but the judge said that her life was now NC-17. Like, she wasn't allowed to have children under 17.
It was a good bit. It's just an elaborate bit that was just not, but anyway, right. So I was saying, so then my last, so after the, so Shannon Rich is now booking comedy shows. Right. And his like best buddy, or his buddy is a promoter, this black dude who like goes on. No, first he books this. First is like a playmate, right? And the playmates are coming up to me and she's like, oh, I love comedy, blah, blah, blah. And her nipples are out, right? Like, just her, like her nipple is just out. So like, I look down. I'm like, I could see your nipple, right? And she's like, oh, huh, why do we even wear clothes, right? And I'm just like, right. Oh, like, of course. This never happened when I was single, ever. And this right. never, ever. And then I tell my wife, want to hear a funny story? And she did not like that story at all. I'm like,
well, Sarah strikes me as something she wouldn't think is funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why.
The problem is when you get married, you just, you lose a lot of your friends. Literally, your wedding should be like 6 years after you get married, because you'll have four people there. You'll have.
Mine will be, so that works out.
You'll have four people at this wedding, right? I'm like, why do people get married? So then I have no one to tell these stories to. So I tell my wife the stories of like, hey, this fucking chick showed me your pussy today when I was on stage. And that's the last, and she's home with the kid. The kid is sick. You know, she's doing, the last thing she wants to hear about is some, like, I was on stage last night and these three OnlyFans girls there and some porn star. And I'm like, the girl's like, ah, and some older ladies like, Adam, I know you. I booked you 5 years ago and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh shit. I'm like, I think you owe me money. Right. And then I asked the girl, I'm like, I go, what do you do? And the girl's like, she's like, oh, I'm a porn star named, Dakota or something. Right. I'm like, okay. So she was very nice. And some other girl said she was a porn. The other girl's like, oh, that's the clip master behind me. Right. So now these girls all have like aliases. And then some other girls like, I've been doing this for 6 months and I never knew how to come, but now I know where the clit is. This is what these girls, do you want me to show you? And I'm like, no, I don't need you to squirt all over the fucking front row. I mean, there's like, 40 people here. So then the girl gives me a sticker. Literally the naked girl gives me a sticker of just herself, butt naked. Like that's what people are doing now. So now I'm carrying around a fucking sticker. And,
scratch and sniff. I don't know.
Dude, it
actually didn't make sense, but
yeah, it basically was scratch.
Smelled like desperation.
Dude, it was fucking crazy. So then, and like the sticker says "Come Queen." Literally, it says "Come Queen" on the thing. And then they were with some MMA fighter guy, and I'm like, "Oh, I'll get you on." He's in the UFC. I'm like, "Oh, I co-host with Mayhem and Don Fry and Sean." And he's like, "Oh, Mayhem beat up my brother." So I'm like, dude, if I had a nickel for everyone, but his brother was an actual fighter. Anyway, enough about this. We have an actual guest. The non-binary ninja is on the thing who she's a fucking world-class striker, Muay Thai specialist who's fighting Jita, the man Ida, in the first transgender championship, which, listen, I always said that like, I have no problem. Like, I know I have probably have more transgender friends than most people that I know. Okay. Plenty of people that I accept everyone. But when you have guys and when you have transgenders and people that were born as men fighting girls, that's when things get fucking, people are just like, they have an advantage. You see these chicks, they're fucking jacked. They're like fucking shredded. They're beating the fuck out of these girls. And it does not seem fair. I'm no doctor, but this does not seem like a fair competitive fight. Okay. So
normally I would only take that advice from a doctor.
So now we got transgenders fighting other transgenders. And I'm like, fuck it. Yes. That's the way it should be. Am I right? Non-binary ninja.
So you know what? I think what's cool about Gina and I meeting for this trilogy in an MMA fight, we both wanted either challenging fights against male athletes, or we wanted the most fair fights possible, and we wanted to create a trans lane for athletes like ourselves. Whether or not, I know I could sit here and get into the politics, but I know one thing I've learned is I think the way things stand at the moment, when you have trans people fighting in general, it's going to be controversial, right?
Yes.
And I think that clearly, I think that most people would warm up to the idea of trans versus trans.
Yes.
And that's why I'm still a little dumbfounded on the fact that there's certain people that seem to still hate when it's trans versus trans competing in a fair matchup. And I know, like, I grew up with two sisters. They were athletes. My older sister used to beat my ass when we were younger. But one thing I know is this. I would never have wanted to compete against my own sister. I wouldn't want to take any of her glory. And in my opinion, just like there was a point in time where people would be like Dana White, no one will ever watch two women fight, right? No one will ever pay to see two females have a fight. Well, guess what? I know a lot of people still hate women's MMA, but guess what? Dana White eventually woke up, and I think we actually just had one of the best women matches recently.
Oh,
yeah. With an awesome ending. But yeah, I'm blabbering a bit. But
listen, who better to know about this than you? So now what is the? I'm an idiot. What is non-binary?
Okay.
Is that? Yes.
So this is where some people will get a little bit confused. And what I'll tell you is this. I don't know if you know this. I used to be a New York City high school teacher. And believe it or not, I was trans at the time. And all these little like trans babies started coming in. And I remember some of them were using this word non-binary. And I was like, what is this nonsense? What, these kids making all these new things up, right? But guess what? That's very often how people talk before they actually do the reading or do the research, right? And over time, right? I love when people are like, oh, they're making up new words. Every single word on this planet had to be created socially at one point or another. And definitions change and all of that. Non-binary, it's kind of an umbrella term. It's for people that some would say are a form of trans, but it's a little bit different for everybody. Some people are like, hey, I basically overall, the common theme is this: they don't identify as the gender they were told to identify as or the sex they were born as, and they don't want to fit in, I think, the binary male or female box. So some people will claim they're agender. If you want to Google this term, they feel like they don't have a gender. I myself started wanting to transition fully one direction. But when I was growing up, something that always stood out to me was, I always had the desire to look a type of way. I had the dysphoria, but deep down, and I've felt this way from my earliest memories, deep down, I never truly felt like, if a therapist asked me, like, oh, so you feel like you're a woman stuck inside. For me personally, I've sort of felt like neither nor. I always felt a little bit different. And clearly, when I started this journey, I don't think I really fit either box anymore. And so when these kids were using this term non-binary, I realized, wait, I think this kind of fits more into sort of how I feel. I want to be more feminine.
So you were so okay. So you came out of the womb, penis man, right?
Yes.
Then you turn 17, 18, 19,
Yeah.
and then yeah.
So here's the thing. I knew since the age of four, there's like, we found some old videotapes of me crying about it. I used to go to bed and I would pray to God that I would wake up in a different body. And clearly that didn't happen. And so part of my story was, the world was opening up for a bit. But guess what? If you spoke about the feelings I had back in the day, you would have been called crazy. You would have been bullied. And so many people hid their truth, right? And that's sort of what I did. And I tried my best. I always loved the G.I. Joes, the Ninja Turtles. I was always into sports, right? But I also always wanted to be pretty. I wanted the dress. I wanted the makeup. I wanted to play with the Barbie dolls. And from my earliest memories, I was told I could not do that. And so, in many ways, what I love is some people will be like, oh, look at you. You're faking your gender. But what I try to explain to people is, no, I'm sorry you're confused about my gender. I know who I am inside. And if anything, I'm finally expressing myself the way I always wanted to,
Right.
naturally.
But so when
And
did you
I.
start on like the hormone treatments or the whatever?
So what makes this interesting is talking about the way people hide things. I was in high school and I illegally, well, I shouldn't say illegally, I ordered some hormones online to try out. So when I was in high school, I tested it out,
So did
freaked
Sean, by the
myself.
way.
What's up?
So did
That's not
so
the first time anyone's ordered hormones online for a reason in this conversation.
believe that.
So
Right? I had
mostly
some of my
mine's
friends were
growth.
getting something else back in the day. Yes. And so like I tested it out. It was a scary thought. I wasn't confident enough yet. And so I stopped it. Probably around my senior year of high school, freshman year of college, still had the strong feelings. And that's where I was in therapy, was going to doctors. And part of this story was I was training, Matt Serra opened up a school by me.
Yeah.
And so I was actually training in jiu-jitsu. And I remember looking around the room one day and being like, none of these people will accept me if I'm trans. And so in a way, I gave up the martial arts dream earlier for a bit. And I think it was around the age of 19 to about 20. I was secretly taking hormones. And if you were to bump into me, I probably looked very different every 6 months because it was so scary. I would start and stop. I didn't really have any support. And so what would end up happening was I would hide it away. I would stop the hormones. I would bulk up as much as I can, try to make the world happy. But to tell you the truth, every time I passed the mirror, all that would flood my thoughts was I hated the way I looked, felt like I was living a lie. And going back then, I had a lot of self-harming behaviors. I did a lot of self-medicating. I partied hard because secretly I hated life. And then I would say it was probably in my early 20s where I tried to make a real step with this. And what I will say is society ate me up and then spit me out. So
what do you mean by that?
So basically, I was transitioning. I told some people, and let's just say the way that everyone treated me was just so disgusting. Whether it was problems at work, people, this is what really sucks about the transition. People that used to just like kiss my ass and respect me, suddenly were treating me like I was a fucking cockroach. And there's no feeling like, I know a lot of people get upset when they hear like the terms privilege used a lot, but like my experience in a way showed me that it is a real thing. And of course, everyone has certain privileges in certain spaces, right? It's all about numbers.
Yeah.
But I went through a unique experience a few times where every time I would try this and start moving forward, what would scare me back into the closet is me losing privilege, where suddenly people that I never had to worry about disrespecting me suddenly would be treating me like complete shit. And so guess what? For one last time, I had the hair grown out. I was on the hormones. I was convinced I had to starve myself and be as scrawny as possible because everyone loved to tell me how a woman should be, right? Meanwhile, all along, I never really wanted to fit in anyone's boxes. And so I got so depressed. I bulked back up. I climbed the ladder in the DOE. I was a dean of a high school. Like, life was easy going back. And there's no feeling like it because it's like you're losing that privilege and then you gain it back tenfold. But here's the truth. Everyone thought I was happy. I got a lot of attention from men or women, right? Like, I was considered an attractive guy. But I was completely miserable. And when I tell a lot of people, I really mean this. For me, transitioning was the cure. Because I'm fully convinced that if I didn't go through this, and I hate to talk this way, there's a good chance I probably would have ended things myself.
Yeah, that's great. But it's also great that like you did it when you were older. Because like I know as a coach, like I coached wrestling, and then there was kids that were like, one day, hey, I'm a boy, or like I'm a girl, like, and I'm just like, you know, can you call me that, James? The kid's not name is James, but like, hey, can you call me Jessica? I'll call you whatever you want. You know, I'll call you whatever you want. I'm not one of these people that's like, you can't, but I'm very happy that the parents did not start them on treatment because they were their kids, 11, 12. And all of a sudden, like a month later, they're like, oh, I'm actually, you know, that was a phase, or the parents say, blah, blah, where it seems like a lot of parents in California are just jumping on this trend of like, oh, my kids, they have to go around saying my kid's trans, and then people get accolades from it, and then they, oh, you're, that's so amazing, and oh, I'm trans, and all that, and they get like love bombed, and they start these kids on treatments, and it's just too young, you know. But like at 21, 22, that's older. That's you can join the military, you can drink, your brain is more developed than it was when it was 11. So
you know what I liked what you brought up a little, because what I'll share, what I tell people a lot is this. I think some people look at me and they're like, whatever she says, she's talking like an expert. And what I'll always say is this. I know there's so many opinions around this stuff, and I'm always open for the discussion, right? And to be fair, too, I think I, over time, have changed some of my opinions tied to all sorts of human rights issues, right? Some of it was growth. Some of it was relearning. But after teaching, my current real career, I'm actually a professional. I'm a therapist. And so I have lots of people come to me of all ages about gender. But to tell you guys the truth, I think people assume that's all I do. I treat everyone from all walks of life, to the point too where like some of my best clients are in their 70s, super religious, and when I first meet them, I'm like, there's no way this woman will keep working with me. But at the end of the day, I think they see the human. And
you're
after the
really
first
comfortable
session,
with you. Probably very comfortable with you because you're very non-judgmental. Like you're not going to be like call someone like, oh, you know, you're a weirdo or blah, blah, or you think this. You're like, you've been through a lot of shit, so probably that's.
Yeah, and you know what? I'll tell a lot of them after the first session. I'll be like, listen, I'm sure cause some of them have no idea before they show up, right? I'm like, listen, I just want you to know clearly, like, this is how I identify. But at the end of the day, I'm here to do my job for you. So if you want to keep working with me, you know, I would hope you could respect my identity. But if you don't feel comfortable working with me, well, I would love to help you find someone else. And I think that's part of it, where the people are like, wow, you own that? I'm gonna, like, how could I not respect that? But to go back, similar to, this is the way I started to feel a little bit about, so I will say this. One thing that is extremely overhyped, the way I think they've convinced so much of the public, they're fucking 12-year-olds getting trans surgeries everywhere. Like, the actual underage people getting surgery done, it's like such a minority. If it happened, I'm not gonna even go into that. But going back to like hormones, meds, some pretty things that can make like some significant changes. As a therapist, I have a lot of kids come to me with depression. What do I know? Some of them might benefit from an antidepressant, but guess what? My boss, a lot of the psych nurses I work with, a lot of them are like, listen, we don't feel comfortable prescribing anyone before the age of 17, this or that, right? And so the truth is, I respect that. I do think this is where probably I will differ from some people. I think there are unique cases. So for example, I have had to convince some of my colleagues before, like, I think this kid won't live unless we give him antidepressants soon, right? I think it's worth the risk.
Yeah.
That's where I think, now I'm not advocating for people to get like things done at 11 or 12, but my opinion, I feel like if a kid is 18 and there's a good chance that professionals are like, hey, we might want to start this kid a little bit earlier. That's where I stand. But overall, I agree. I think I would have, as a former teacher and a guidance counselor, going back to these trans babies, I remember the trans boys in particular, right? Born female, would become men. A lot of them would come to me because they were in secret competition with each other. Because A, they were convinced if I start hormones a year after my friend, well, they're going to be such a better man than I would ever be, right? And when I try to tell them, like, it's not a race. All of you will, there are some people that'll take tea and they'll turn into the Rock. Others, right, they'll go bald and become fat. So first of all, no rush. You have no idea your genetics and how it will play out, right?
Right.
I also I have some adults come to me where they think they are trans, and the last thing I ever want to do is convince someone they're trans if they're not. Because guess what? If I push them in that direction, then it will cause them some harm.
Game time. NFL playoffs. One of the greatest things you can do is go to an NFL playoff game, okay? You get to go with other fans. You have fun. You take your family. Listen, Game Time has a new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets for events even easier. Game Time filters out the fluff to show you only the incredible deals on great seats. You don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets to find the best value, okay? Make it, you can save time, and saving time is money. Time is valuable, all right? You pick an upcoming game, you browse through the ticket deals on Game Time Picks, and it's so easy. I do it all the time. I go to concerts on Game Time. I go to NFL games. I go to WNBA games. Okay, you can go to MMA events, all right? They have curated deals that make it easier to find the best price, to get great seats. They have the super deal, which is the best value for that event. You get the seat views, so you're not like stuck behind a goalpost, or you're sitting in the parking lot, whatever it is. They have the lowest price guarantee, and they have event cancellation protection, job loss protection, etc. All right, go to Game Time Picks. All right, they make it easier for sports, concerts, comedy, theater. They have all-in pricing. You get the seat views, you get ticket coverage, and you get the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. What are you waiting for, people? Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code CLNS for $20 off your first purchase. That's right. Create an account, redeem your code CLNS for $20 off. All right. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. I'm telling you, it's awesome. You're going to thank me later. Check it out right now.
What makes me think about this a bit is I saw a documentary on, I'm probably going to say it wrong, I'm the worst with pronunciation, Iran or Iran. Do you know that in that country, I could have gotten my trans surgeries paid for by the government? It's covered.
What?
Was this while they're
Right?
throwing you off a cliff or no? Or like.
So listen, this is what makes, I think, culture so interesting, right? And like, so guess what? A lot of people, I think, are first shocked to hear that. It's a mixed bag message, though, right? In their country specifically, it's been, I guess, determined over time, and it's been this way for a while, that if you are a trans, you feel like you're a trans woman, it was a birth defect. God made a mistake. And so they're gonna fix it. But I watched a documentary where gay men in that country ended up getting the surgery because it would be the only way they could be with a man in that country
Wow.
without being punished, right? And then in this documentary, these people are now feeling like they're trans because they're stuck in the wrong body. It's like the reverse.
So they went through all that trouble because they couldn't be gay, and now they don't have genitalia that they wanted.
Yes.
What a mess. By the way, so Bill Dawes, who also wants to become trans, you're on he's not, you're on the podcast with the non-binary ninja. Summer Brady.
What a great place to enter the podcast. Like right in the middle of the most hotbed conversation you could possibly have.
So she no, she so if you're non-binary, what do I call you she?
You know what? I'm going to teach you something. Rolling pronouns means I use she or they. You could call me either. It doesn't matter.
Okay, so I think she's better. They is just it's just gonna be too confusing
Yes.
for me. So she is fighting Jeetah the Man-Eater in the
Who
first
we
trans.
know,
Yes,
friend of the
who we have on the
podcast.
friend of the podcast, good friend of
Yes.
mine, fun human being. And it's for the belt. They're one and one. They each want to fight against each other. Now I watched some of your fights, Summer Brady. I watched you and Rough and Rowdy, those
Oh
fights,
my God, I'm s the
which
part.
is it's just the Dave Portnoy. And it seemed like, first of all, so you fought men, you fought like biological men, like not like, all right. And it seemed like, I've never had, I was a wrestler, college wrestler, but it does seem like in your boxing, you were doing a lot of the Muay Thai clinching, trying to clinch. So it looked like you were just pushing because they kept saying you were pushing. But I'm like, I don't think you were pushing. I think you were trying to clinch with boxing gloves. Is that, am
Oh
I
my
right?
God. So first of all, I'm so Rough and Rowdy helped bring me to Spaces, which I don't regret. But I'm so happy the way you spun this because that is exactly when I left that fight that night. Part of this story is I had a Muay Thai fight scheduled and it got canceled last minute due to transphobia, right? Rough and Rowdy called me and they offered me this fight. So I wasn't preparing for boxing. All I was doing was Muay Thai 24/7,
Yeah.
right? So I'm like, you
Do
know
you
what? I want to fight. They're gonna offer me some money. So I go down there, wasn't fully ready, didn't have had an awesome person show up to be my coach because guess what? Part of my story is a lot of coaches don't support the trans fighters like their other fighters, right? But going down, that's what in my head, I didn't know the rule set. I was like, I'm gonna dirty box like clinch style. I know I'm stronger than this guy. His wife also stopped me right before I walked out and basically begged me not to hurt him. So, like, took away some of the desire or whatever.
Yeah.
But here's the truth. I remember not taking it so serious because I didn't consider him a threat whatsoever. I also went out with the bra on. I was like, yo, I'm going to hold him close to my boobs, embarrass him. But in my head, when I had him like holding up, there were certain strikes that I thought were like little jabs, like clinch style, that I thought they would count.
And then later on, I think the crowd thought you won the fight too.
I have two questions. Sorry.
Yeah.
First of all, do you think the wife did that just to fuck with your head? Do you think that was planned? She was like, you know what? If I say this to her, maybe it'll get in her head so she'll lose the... I mean, that could have been like a psyop. Number two,
she gave me a big talk about how she was pregnant, the new baby was on the way, and they really needed the money.
Yeah.
Really?
I swear.
Oh, come on. That's ridiculous. That's hilarious. And so,
like, in that moment... I remember just being like, yo, I can't knock this guy's head off as much as I
can. I think that's also what people were upset about because, Bill, she's wearing her pajamas right now, so she looks like she's fucking jacked. Like, underneath that, like, just, like, muscles galore and fucking big fake titties. So I think people were expecting you to just fucking overhand right. And I think they were like let down a little bit because you look so strong, you know.
I was let down. I let myself down. If I could hop in a time machine, like, but you know what? That was an experience because after that fight, I remember being like, I'm never going to do a circus fight again unless it's
bullshit. Before that, because then you did celebrity boxing. And dude, so she kicks this girl's ass. This black girl, she drops her with a body shot. They stop the fight, right? They're like, this is getting... The girl's headgear is like falling off her head. And then right after the fight's over, the girl rushes her, and it's like a 30-person brawl, fucking melee. What happened there?
So you know what? That fighter had more of like a wrestling background, right? And so I think they might have even been told... Hey, use your wrestling. I think someone behind the scenes was like, use your wrestling if you want in this fight, which turned it into like a circus. I think they got so frustrated at the end. It just turned into a quick, I don't know if you noticed, I snuck a knee in at one point. But then it turned into like a little wrestling match where I remember I tried to shoot him for like a single leg takedown.
Dude, then there was a fight. I watched one of yours. Like, it was like in a basement in a Muay Thai. I don't think this was even legal. This black dude was fucking jacked. You can take a punch. This guy was throwing haymakers and landing. And
I need to share this story, actually, because this is... I love that guy, by the way. And he kicked my ass. Yeah. There are two fighters I can point to and be like, they fairly actually kicked my ass. But I wasn't... When you hear the story a little bit, I think you'll also understand more about this. But I'm so embarrassed by that fight. If I could, that one would be scrubbed, right? But once again, I'm offered a fight. I'm offered some money. My coaches bail on me. This is part of my early story. So I'm like, fuck it. I'm going anyway. I get myself to West Virginia. While I'm there, the promoter and the sanctioning body, they suddenly are sending me texts. They're like, we need to talk. The fight was set for 159. And this is not the first time this happened to me. In fact, that Rough and Rowdy fight was similar. That guy did not make weight. Okay?
Yeah.
So imagine we were told 159. I wanted to test how low I could cut. It was a stupid mistake. I weighed in at 152.4, by far the lightest and smallest I'll ever be, and I did it in a stupid way. I was in a sauna way too long, but it was me like testing out protocols at this point. I then find out that my opponent, you saw how big and jacked he showed up weighing 176. And this is what the commission told me. They were like, listen, you need to eat enough or drink enough to be within 7 pounds of him by tomorrow morning.
Ugh.
Or the fight is off. So I literally went back to my hotel room. I ate and drank everything I could, which then made me feel like I had a baby in my stomach.
Well, you could take a punch because that dude was landing punches that would have knocked out most men.
Yes.
Not all men.
And you want to know something? Yeah.
Yeah.
He this is what made me feel better too. But all the haters that talk shit about it don't know this. I think he had two knockouts shortly before me where he dominated men the same way, knocked me out that way, and then I think he had like a three more dominant knockout streak. So he was, yes, and Tyson style. He was doing the bomb and the women. But yes.
Yeah. I mean, you're a hell of a fighter. You got a chin. Now, what's your record? What's your record?
Okay, so this is a little hard to tell because a lot of these shits were considered exhibitions. And so it might be hard for me to tell. But when it comes to the striking, I think because when I sit down for Warriors Cup for the Muay Thai, they always have me like fill out a specific form and then they want us to list the sanctioning. So I think when it comes to just the striking arts, they have me as like non-sanctioned bouts. I think they have me listed combining boxing, kickboxing, and Muay Thai. I think I'm up to something like, I think it's 11 or 12 wins. And then I think 3 losses.
Okay.
And then I have the armored fights that...
Oh yeah, she has this thing where she dresses up as like a knight and with like swords.
And then, yes.
And somehow Mayhem, of course, was hired to do commentary on this.
Of course.
And they do MMA with swords. And it's, I've never seen anything like this before.
Wait, are these real swords?
So they're real swords and real. This is actually my mace, right?
Holy shit.
But they're blunted. So they're not sharp. But they do.
Oh, okay. In that case. Okay.
Yes.
You probably like, have you been injured? I mean, that seems like that is a recipe for a fucking hospital time.
So listen, they make such a big deal about safety, and I think it is a recipe for disaster if you're not safe. I'd say my biggest injury, I think I blocked something and it hyperextended my arm a bit in the armor.
Yeah.
But well, the good thing is that you can't get your dick cut off anymore. So now you said you'd never hit a woman, but you'll slap a bitch.
Great line, by the way.
Yes. Will you expand on this?
Okay. That was from that silly Man on the Mat interview I really loved. So to tell you the truth, and this is where I go with like, I got to stress because I know people from all sides of the aisle will get upset with me based on what I say. Truthfully, at the end of the day, all I really want to fight are other trans athletes personally or men for some cool matchups. Right. So when I refer to a bitch, it could be any gender. Because you could be born male, woman, intersex. Guess what? In my opinion, it's the character of someone that makes them a bitch or not. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Speaking of bitches, I have a question.
Yes.
How deep is the transgender non-binary field of fighters? Like, how many do you think there's a big enough depth of field that you could have a serious league?
So, no, what's really funny? It's bigger than people realize. Because keep this in mind. There's a number of, like I was saying earlier, I hit a lot of myself and stayed as macho as possible in certain ways, right?
Yeah.
Little known fact, one of the highest demographics of trans people come from the military after they served in the military.
Wow.
Meaning a lot of them come from certain backgrounds to begin with. So a lot of these people have been training for years to begin with. And I think every time they see someone like me or Gita out there, they're like, wait, there is a lane? So every fight I have leads to like a new crew of other trans fighters trying to bully me in the DMs.
Wow. Wait, they're trying to bully you?
Yes, they're all like, what I love is I've set the bar. So a lot of them will write to me like, oh, you think you have talent? I'd walk through you. Ooh. And that's where I've been trying to grow these divisions in all the sports. So I know like in Seattle, there is a trans-owned Muay Thai gym. There's also a trans-owned Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu gym. And there are fighters from both groups that want to take my head off, right?
Wow.
I also think one of my dreams, I get a lot of challenges from Thai ladyboys. Where I think the Muay Thai world I think we could have a full fucking international giant championship of like killer. Also, there I know Dutch trans women fighters. They're living in the Netherlands. They're trained in the Dutch style. Like, and I mean this. I think some of them would really give me a run for my money. But guess what? That's what I want.
Yeah.
I would love to be able to get this belt off Gita. And then I actually got my ass kicked by a Canadian trans woman for a title belt. For the first trans Muay Thai belt last summer, right? She's got pro experience from Thailand. But guess what? I want to go kick her ass, win that belt back, and then get every trans fighter on the planet coming out. And part of why I love you asked this, the more I'm seeing, I remember my first silly celebrity boxing fight. I left the ring, and there was a bunch of little like trans teenagers and college students that showed up to watch me fight. I didn't expect it. And they all wanted like my autograph and pictures. And that's where it was like, yo, just like I'm sure Jackie Robinson.
Yeah, you're like Martin Luther King.
Yes. Yes. I'll take that.
There you go.
I like that. I'm gonna steal.
So this is awesome. Well, good for you. Listen, I'm a fan. I'm a fan, obviously, of Gita. I've known Gita forever. She's fun. You're fun. I think this is going to be a great fight. Where can people watch this? Talk to us.
Okay, so we have a new venue. I probably shouldn't say too much, but due to transphobia.
Yeah, what do you mean by that? You said due to transphobia because you had that fight canceled. Like, what exactly happened?
Okay, so the irony was it was supposed to be the first time Gita and I were ever going to fight. This promotion made the announcement. They had the posters. We're both posting about it. Gita flew all the way to New York, if I remember correctly. And then it was like 4 days before the fight. The promotion just sends us like a random text. And they're like, hey, sorry to break it to you. The venue doesn't feel comfortable with trans fighters. And then it turned into the promotion blaming the venue and the venue blaming the promotion. So it sounds like there was almost a repeat at a venue. But what I love about this promotion, they were like, you know what? We don't need to give you our money. We'll go find the spot.
Yeah. So
they just announced it's going to be in Coney Island on Juneteenth. So lots of people will be off for vacation. It's the first night of the Coney Island fireworks show. And they're going to put the steel cage in the middle of Cyclone Stadium.
And they got to have they have to have like some kind of wiener promotion too. Coney Island where everyone like bites the hot dogs.
You know, Nathan's is right there. Actually, I've been saying for a while, I want them to create a trans division for the hot dog eating contest.
I mean, seriously, if you were Gita win and then you take a hot dog and just bite it off in the middle, I mean, that's great branding. Now, what are your thoughts, by the way, of Christy Noem's husband's wearing the whole Barbie fetish fake tits in that community? What is that?
So I'll say this. I won't kink shame. So whatever he's into, as long as he's not harming anyone, I'm not going to hate on it. I bet you she knew. In fact, I bet you he used her clothing a lot for things like this. I just think it's really interesting that someone leaked it on the trans day of visibility. So what I'm trying to decide is this someone who's anti-trans and they're like, yo, if we release this today, it'll make trans people look like real creepy and kinky. Or is it someone who's like, hey, fuck Christy Noem, we're going to release this on this day to rain on her parade. I have no idea.
Bill, what do you think? You're kind of a freak.
Oh yeah. So is it the who's do the psyop, the Republicans or the Democrats in this one? I tend to think it's people who want Christy Noem to look bad.
Yeah.
You know what?
She's pretty well hated.
Yes, she is. She's pretty well hated.
Oh, but I don't understand. Okay, so look, he likes a guy with giant tits. He likes girls with humongous tits, which is fine. Like, who doesn't like? I mean, so they're a little too big. In my opinion, it's whatever. But all right, that I get. But why was he wearing them? Like what? Like why was he wearing the leggings and the stockings? Like, what is that?
So you know what? I don't think so. This is where I would have to sit with him to fully understand in the therapy session.
By the way, this is a therapist, by the way, Bill, as well. Just so
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But imagine, I have a feeling it's more of like a fetish type thing. I don't think he has any feelings as a trans person. I also don't even know if I would consider it a straight cross-dressing thing. I'm wondering if it was more of like a there are some people, their kink is to be humiliated, right?
Yeah.
Or to be told what to do, right?
Yeah.
I have a feeling it was probably more along those lines, and someone set them up pretty well and got the screenshot, right? But I don't know, right?
So that makes sense. So, or maybe it was like, you think it was something where like the girls are like, we'll show you our tits, but you have to wear giant things. And he's like, all right, I'll do it. Kind of like Oscar De La Hoya did back in the day, where like that was a thing where he was like, well, she said she would do this, but I have to do this first. So it's like almost like sometimes you'll meet girls and they're like, well, I like to bang guys with a strap on, but that's the only way that I'll let him bang me. Like, so it's more like that.
It could be, or you just made me think of this. I'm not going to reveal who, but I've had some pro fighters. I've had some champions, current as well, from multiple sports, slide into my DMs. And I have learned about some of their fetishes or kinks or identities, right? And
was it Sean O'Malley?
Was it Jason Miller?
Was it Aljamain Sterling or Henry Cejudo? It was definitely Henry Cejudo. Okay.
You know what? Part of me wishes I could, and I think Gita has stories as well. Say that. But what I think going back,
wait, so these guys come into your DMs and they say, hey, listen, I've always been into trans women and I want you
sometimes
to
it'll be that, or like without saying too much. I've had some who reveal to me, like, imagine the most macho killer, straight killer you know.
Don Strickland. It was Sean Strickland.
It was Don Fry. It was definitely Don Fry.
But Sean they Strickland. Like to be humiliated, so they will track someone down that will dress them up a type of way, whether it's put makeup on, latex stuff. They will use certain tools, like the chastity thing that goes on the penis and clenches it. There is so much different kink out there, to the point where I think a lot of people, I'm going to keep it real, I'm very vanilla in many ways when it comes to like sex. My gender identity has really nothing to do with like any sexual shit. And I feel like sometimes the people that hate us try to push it that way.
It was definitely Sean Strickland, by the way. It has to be Sean Strickland. I mean, come on, he's so macho and manly and like, now what did you think about that fighter, by the way? There was a fighter, I forgot the guy's name, who was like, my enemies are not heavyweights, they're sex traffickers and transgenders. That guy.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Does that make you laugh or does that piss you off?
It does both, because A, I laugh because I'm just like, oh my God, some of these people are so obsessed. And then B, it makes me wonder, is this guy one of those people covering his tracks because what he's really into? Or is he someone who's been maybe indoctrinated from some certain space he's in to hate certain groups of people, right? Yeah. It scares me when anyone has a platform to spread hate for anyone, if that makes sense.
Yes.
But I tend to laugh. When people come for me online, it drives me nuts because they'll sit there thinking they're hurting my feelings. And I try to tell some of them, like, I'm busy laughing at you over here, right? Like, and yeah. I think some of them get it and they'll leave me alone because that emasculates them.
Now, it does seem that it's mostly white liberal women or white liberal men that are very for, like, very liberal men, like the guys with the man buns and the beards, that are really for transgenders in playing against females. Where I would say most of the trans people I know are just like, leave us out. We don't fucking care. We don't want to play fucking kid sports. We don't want to play high school sports. And if we do fight, we'll fight other trans people. Would you say that's kind of a safe assumption to make?
So I'll say largely, but here's the thing. This is the problem. All communities are divided. All right. So I do think, yes, I think, especially of a certain age, a lot of people respond a lot like you. Like, I have certain friends that are like, they make such a big deal about sports. We're fucking trans. We started as men. We fucking hate sports. We became women, right? I'm joking a bit, yeah. But like, I've heard that before. I think, but there is, yes, there are a lot of people, especially people of a certain age, I think, that have reached out to me and they're like, I love what you do, because to me, I feel like there are certain people who are outspoken about maybe the other direction, and that puts a target on our back, right?
Right.
I share this a lot. There are certain trans fighters out there that have sabotaged my success. So I would have had way more Muay Thai fights at Warriors Cup, but every time I get a certain trans opponent to sign up, there's a clique of other trans fighters that'll reach out to them, and they tell them things like, oh, Summer is supporting the patriarchy by fighting other trans athletes. You know, what? We shouldn't give in. We should make our own organizations, like all that type of shit. Where, like, I've even been called a transphobe before by some other trans people. And to me, at the end of the day, that's where I will roll my eyes and laugh. I'll say they can feel the way they want. They want to go create that lane somewhere. Good luck. I'm not going to get in your way. But please don't get in the way of a lane that I think much of the world wants. And I think once there is, this is what drives me nuts. When the Olympics bans us, when certain orgs ban us, the most some of them will do is they open like an open category. I want more organizations like the Olympics. You want to ban us? Fine. But make a fucking trans woman lane.
Yeah,
make a
sure.
trans man lane, right? Like, that's what drives me nuts. But there are
nobody wants to see a trans man league. Let's be honest. That's yeah. a bridge too far.
That's listen. It's called the WNBA. They have that. It's like
what's funny actually is I have a friend who fought in the same organization I fought for. We became friends after I fought, but they're a trans man, and nobody knew because they fought stealth against cis dudes, and no one would be able to tell. He's so passionate.
Oh wow!
Yes. So, like, I have certain friends where I remember they're like, no, similarly, I hate to say it, but they're like, who's going to want to watch trans men fight? And they have their preconceived notion. And then I'll yes. send them, like, a trans athlete. You know, and they'll be like, yo, that dude will fuck me up. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, Summer, you've been a delight. And good luck with everything. If you need anything at all, feel free. We're always here, and we support you. We support Gita, and I hope you have a great rest of the week. Happy Easter.
You too. And it was a pleasure meeting you both. And yeah, don't be strangers.
Absolutely not.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So that was Summer. It's funny. She has like a Long Island accent.
I was going to say, is that Jersey or Long Island?
It was like Jersey, New York accent. It's like she's, yeah.
She served in the military too?
No, she didn't serve in the military, but she was a teacher, a dean. She's currently a therapist.
Yeah, obviously very well-spoken.
She's fucking jacked. It's going to be a good fight. I'm excited for that fight. And I'm happy.
When is the fight?
I got to look it up. It's coming up. It's definitely coming up. Did you watch the fights last week?
No.
All right. Well, Israel Adesanya lost.
Oh, yeah. I saw the highlights. You guys, yeah.
He was doing well. He was actually, it was a pretty good fight. He was actually winning was very competitive, maybe winning. And then he got into a fucking Don Fry punch him out contest. But it was interesting. This other guy, Joe Pfeiffer, who's good, he's a good fighter, solid fighter. So after he wins, he starts like, he's in tears. And he's like, listen, I just want to say, and I'm paraphrasing it, but, you know, I was suicidal 2 weeks ago. I was ready to take my life, but I found Jesus, right?
And 2 weeks ago, we found Jesus?
Yeah, that was a little like it wasn't like, hey, you know, 6 years ago, it was 2 weeks ago, right? So then it gets even more crazy where he says, basically, he got caught cheating on his wife or his girlfriend. And now he's going to be a better person, and she saved him, and he found, and that's where you're just like, okay. Like,
wait, he said that in the post show? He said he cheated on his wife?
Yeah, cheated on his girlfriend, and that's where people are just like, okay. I mean, Some people are running with it. Like a lot of like religious sites are going, fighter finds Jesus. It's beautiful. Wins fight.
So he found Jesus right after he was caught cheating. What a coincidence. Yeah,
like, like, as I think, I don't want to knock on the guy. I don't want to put the guy down. I feel for the guy. And if he did find Jesus, all the power to him. But it does seem like, if I got caught cheating on my girlfriend or wife and didn't want her to leave me and I got a fight coming up, finding Jesus is a pretty good one. You know what? I'm a different human. Like, shouldn't there be like a couple months or a year, like before you, like when you find Jesus to announce it? Like, cause at what point are you, like a girl's going to walk in on you and you're just begging his fucking
son. Yeah, yeah.
I found Jesus.
Like, that's like people like, oh, I've been sober for 2 weeks. Motherfucker, you're not sober yet. Shut up. You just stopped drinking for a bit.
Right, right. I mean, there has to be. I don't want to put the guy down. I don't want to insult the guy.
He's done the podcast, right?
No, he's never done the podcast.
Oh, okay.
But it does seem a little strange. It does seem a little convenient of finding Jesus. So basically, he says that he's reborn. He found God. He embraces his positive life change. I don't want to be a bad person anymore. Cause it was all like if there was no cheating involved and he found Jesus, I would be more like think that it's great. But basically I felt like I had a complete resurgence, a full 180 when it comes to my faith and God and Jesus Christ. I had this out of body experience where I was able to see who I was. I feel like God gave me direction and a chance to change my life. It's the craziest presence I've ever felt. I mean, But then it kept going. Her name's Ashlyn. She's been my girlfriend.
Oh, no. You put her name out there.
Thinking about marriage, family, putting God at the center of everything. I feel like my legacy is, before I thought fighting was everything, I didn't know what was outside of it. If you took this away from me back then, I probably would have self-destructed. And then he goes, I feel like if you truly change, you shouldn't be afraid of people judging your past. But it was 2 weeks ago. The change has come within my soul. It's a beautiful thing. I mean, but God restored my life. I don't want to be a bad person anymore. So you're not buying the...
Oh. Well, first of all, didn't he have a documentary about his life, about how he was already like reformed and cleaned up and Republican and good like a year ago?
I think
the Daily Wire produced it or something, like Ben Shapiro and those nerds.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think he's... I thought he already had the transformation, became a good family, God-loving Jesus. But this was like extra right. Jesus.
So Kel Fire. We got Kel Fire, who's a comedian, adult film star, good friend of mine.
Beautiful. You're already on.
Yes, you're already on.
Cool.
So we're talking about a fighter who said he won his fight last week. And he said he found Jesus. He was ready to kill himself 2 weeks before. But he found Jesus. But he also cheated on his girlfriend. And I guess she caught him. And then he found Jesus. Are you buying it, or do you think it's kind of a convenient
trick? Let me guess. No.
Well, first off, Jesus saves.
Yes.
You know, so do I think it's real? What's real? You know?
That's yeah, those titties.
Hey! In fact, they are. Thank
God. I'm kidding. You know I love you, Kel. You know I love you.
I know you do. I know you do. You actually, I was talking about getting a boob job because in porn, you kind of get beer goggles, but like for your body. And that doesn't make sense, but it does.
I think it's called body dysmorphia. If you want to sound not retarded.
No, but it's a part of my brand. So
no, you, first of all, you are very, you know, your brand is not retarded. Number one,
I've worked with her. She's open for me. She's amazing. I love her. She knows that.
So I met Kel at the Dime Bar and this is normally an MMA podcast, but the MMA fighters don't know what day it is. Sometimes Don Fry comes at 2 hours late. But we did have a transgender fighter on, before
non-binary,
who's fighting for the title. Who's also a therapist and a badass. So you're on a very special episode. But you, Kel, you were an athlete, right? College tennis player?
I played water polo. I actually did wrestle for 3 years in middle school on the boys' wrestling team because they didn't have a girls' wrestling team. And I was team captain.
You were, so you wrestled 6th, 7th, and 8th?
6th, 7th, and 8th. And then I got molluscum my last year, and I was like, I think I'm good.
Wait, you got molested your last year, you said?
I didn't, surprisingly. Molluscum, it's from the mat. Yeah, have you heard of molluscum?
I've never heard of that before, no.
No, like, is it like ringworm or?
It's like, it's like mollusks that become sores.
Ew.
And I had that for 8 months of 8th grade. And yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's the reason I am who I am today.
So
brutal. It was brutal. But yeah, I played all the sports.
You went from having molluscum to just cum on your mouth. Okay, so no.
I prefer the cum.
You prefer the cum. So I had no idea you wrestled. That's pretty amazing. And then you did water polo.
Water polo, I played, like, that was my most, the sport I went the furthest in. I played in college for a year.
And I heard it's like people like kick you underneath the pool. It's like, it gets super crazy, right?
I've gotten like bit because the refs can't see under the water. So like, and that's a lot of people's kind of strategy in the game is like to see how much you can get away with under the water, especially when you're in holds. Yeah. It's very, I mean, I've been fingered by toes and fingers and I've been bit, and the girl's favorite thing to do is to put their feet under the crotch of your swimsuit so they can pull you down.
Wow. Wait, so, how did someone get away with biting you under the water?
I mean, when you play hole, it's constant movement. It's like, that's where I feel like the wrestling came in, because you are having to keep your spot and it's your body against someone, like the full weight, your full weight against someone's full weight, and like maintaining position. So it's just like, it's a flurry. There's water, things can happen. You do like a backhand and then it gets into somebody's mouth, or, you know, maybe elbow.
By the way, my wife thinks that you look a lot like Meghan Markle. If there was like a porn parody of Meghan Markle, I feel like you would clean up. That you should think about doing that.
Are you racially ambiguous? What are you, part black? Are you part? You have any racial weirdness?
Racial weird. You're the one with racial weirdness.
Bill. Are you just like a cracker ass cracker? I mean, are you like?
Well, yeah, I was raised cracker ass cracker, but like my mom hated me, so I was the only one in my family to go to public school. So, like, you know, in San Jose, I grew up around culture, whatever. But my dad has some Lebanese, and I think he's very tan, and like Norwegian, Russian Jew, all that together has formed. And no, it's interesting though. My whole life, people have thought that I was half black, and so I don't know. It's like, have I been oppressed?
All right, so you were an athlete in college. You're kicking ass. Now, then you were like, I want to be an actress. Is that what happened? I want to be an actress?
Yeah, I always wanted to be an actress. I was a weird, like, Cats was my favorite musical growing up. I was obsessed with Andrew Lloyd Webber. But once again, like, my family, all they knew how to support was, like, sports and finance. Bay Area tech. Yeah. And, you know, I have hindsight now and I understand that's their conditioning, whatever. But so I went to college to kind of like be the good girl and do that whole thing. But all along I knew there was just a little freak hiding.
So you moved to Hollywood, right? And you're bartending, you're doing good. You got some success. You got an agent. Co-star?
Not really. Like I was in a couple of like short films when I moved out to Atlanta. I had like bit parts, but honestly, like I was going out on auditions, but I was mentally just a head case. Like I was just waiting for someone to give me like the green light. And so I wasn't a good auditioner and I couldn't let go. Like I was desperate. That's where I was too desperate to get anything good, I think.
Hold on. My fucking speaking of my daughter. Hey Violet, is everything okay? I saw you called like 20 times. I'm doing the podcast. Can I call you back in like a half hour? Oh, sure. It's okay. I love you.
Are you there on Thursday?
Yeah, Thursday night. No, Tuesday, Wednesday hotel. Okay, I love you. Bye. All right, so my daughter, she was sick. She had to go to the ER yesterday.
Oh, no.
Yeah, she's okay, though. They thought she might have meningitis. So like, Jesus. And I'm here, and I'm just like...
Oh, it's worse.
Canceling. I'm like going to cancel the show. I drive back to L.A. But luckily, she almost had to have one of those like big-ass shots, you know.
Spine.
Yeah, spinal tap. So it's just like, ugh. So luckily, she's okay. But
how do you get meningitis?
She doesn't, but she had 103 fever, and then she had a stiff neck. So that was what really scared people. And then, like, you get into, like, the worst-case scenario in my head. You know, like, I freaking watched this movie, like, with about Motley Crue, and Vince Neil. Sure. Vince Neil's on the road, and his kid passes away, his, like, six-year-old. Oh. And I just keep thinking, like, in my fucking head, I'm like, what? You know, like, I just start going to, like, the worst possible.
Yeah.
Get in this horrible, dark place, and then I have to, like, bring myself out of it. So back to you, Kelfire, because I am fascinated by you. I think you're one of the nicest. You know what's crazy? You know what's good about you, Kel? A lot of good things are good about you, but you still have that light in you. Like a lot of times you see people, they go into the adult film, and I used to work at like Playboy. So I used to be the warm-up comic on night calls for like 2-3 years. So I was around a lot of playmates, and I dated this girl, Kaylani Lay, for a while, not very long, and yada, yada, yada. But, and she's not in this category, but you see people where like they start doing adult films, and then before you know it, it's just their life's a fucking mess. And that, it just becomes like, it's just like
a haze. Yeah.
A haze, you know, and you don't have that. So that's good.
Hollywood beat me down so bad that now everything is just an upside. You know what I mean? Like, and I think OnlyFans has really like changed women's life in the industry because it gives you more power over your own like destiny, and you don't have to worry about, you know, these heads of whatever, the studios.
You don't have to show, I mean, you still have to show up to set, and like they're like, hey, you're gonna bang this guy today. Now, I was told
that's fun for me. I love
now, that's told people the have like a no side. List. I was told people have like a no list, right? Of guys they won't work with. And you get to pick the yes list, which is why it's the same four dudes in every porn. Like for a while it was like my buddy Tommy Gunn was in like, thousands of porns because women were always like him. But then he would have a hard time getting dates, I felt like, because he would bang them, but then they didn't look at him like I don't know. I got to talk to him about that. But do you have a no list?
I have a no list, and there's only one person on it so far.
Got it. Now, I found that like a lot of adult stars don't like to date their coworkers. Because if they're banging a guy, then all of a sudden other girls won't work with him because they think they're fucking their friend's man. Is that how it is still?
Yeah, I mean, getting into the industry, people talk about like how you shouldn't date anyone in the industry because it can cause a lot of drama for you and other people. And then if you break up and you get hired on the same set, yada, yada. I haven't come into this problem yet, so it hasn't really enticed me. My problem has been, it sounds like what your friend Tommy Gunn goes through or has went through, is like you are objectified, which I allow myself to be, so okay. But it just I feel like I'm a prude when I date. I'm like, we're gonna be friends, and maybe you'll get past the fact that I'm going to be a notch on your belt.
Right.
Which, okay. Because a lot of the sex that I'm having, like, in the outside world, I don't know. Men need to talk to men. They're not doing the five guys in a row that I've hooked up with have not ate me out. And it's a problem. It's a fucking problem.
Are you coming from set? Because I could see why guys wouldn't like eat you out if you're just coming from the set that
me?
Day.
What? Oh, because they have a dirty pussy?
Well, I mean, if a guy just
some other guys come,
no, but
like,
if a guy just like
wash it.
But if a guy just caved in you and you didn't shower,
I'm
like
not coming. What the fuck? What the fuck?
No, God. I mean that's what guys think though. I'm not me. I'm very advanced, but
no,
I
have to. Yeah, you're so advanced. You're the most advanced.
But is that what guys are thinking? They're like, hey, I don't want to go eat you out because other jizz might be in there.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. But I've started.
What do you mean maybe? Of course, that's why.
Okay. Yeah. You guys are guys. I just, I project. I'm like, no, I give people the benefit of the doubt. And, you know, and, but yeah, I guess I have a dirty pussy, but like, why do so many men on the internet want this pussy? So it just doesn't make sense. Mm.
Don Fry, have you ever not eaten a girl out because you thought there might be jizz in there?
No, I've gone down and I got bit by a crab, so I crawled back out.
Coming in hot.
So, Kel, you're with the manliest man in the history of. He was a UFC champion. He was one of the. He was back in the day. He was just like, he's still the manliest man. But
wait, Kel, you don't know who he is?
He was like the greatest fight, one of the greatest fighters of all time, one of the top 10 fighters of all time, and a wrestler. And he was also in all kinds of movies and Godzilla and all this other shit. And he, back in the day, he looked like a ripped Tom Selleck with like a 12 pack.
Yeah, we gotta send her a picture.
And just a huge dong. But he has two ex-wives that cleaned him out. And then, so now he lives on a farm by himself in like Tucson.
I have my bulldog. Don't forget my bulldog and my two horses.
Yeah, he's got a bulldog and two horses. So this is Kel Fire. Kel was a college water polo player. She was a wrestler. She got sick of Hollywood. Was like, saw all her friends making all this money on OnlyFans and was like, fuck it, I need to make some of that money. And now she's one of the hottest porn stars in the game. Now your first scene, they put you in like a hijab or something, right? Yeah. Like, were you nervous that you might get blown up by that or that people were going to get upset?
Well, I thought, okay, I'm Lebanese, so maybe technically this is okay. And then if a woman from this actual culture did it, like, she'd be killed. So, right. Like, I think of it as community service. Like, I'm doing, you know, what others won't. And I'm not going to kink shame.
Yes.
You know, the reason hijab MILF is such a big or is such a popular scene because – we have been to war in the Middle East.
Wait, hijab MILF is a big category now?
Yeah, think
about it. Oh, act like you don't know, Adam.
Bill, by the way, Bill, I heard from the source, Bill, that there was like a beautiful black woman and you were texting her back and forth and you said, I want to be your slave. And that was one of your pickup lines. Is there any truth to that?
But no, I mean, it was mostly tongue in cheek because it had been going back and forth. Oh, I mean, it's Camille. I was fucking around. Me and Camille, I always had this flirty energy with Camille, but I've never actually asked her out. It's always been just like.
But you said, I want to be your slave?
Oh, she said, I want a white slave. She goes, will you be my white slave? I was like,
isn't
you know.
Is Camille Corbett?
Yes.
You said, will you be my white
slave? She asked me if I want to be your white slave. I said,
I love
oh, yeah,
that.
You know.
That's scary yeah. her. Fuck that, yes. Yeah.
And you said yes?
Of course, what am I going to say? No.
Of course. But what if she said, come over and be my white slave?
It wasn't that the energy was just like goofy, funny energy. I see.
Yeah,
her,
you
I
go over, time. Go over and make you do the dishes.
So Kel, now the first time you're doing a porno, right? First time.
Yeah.
What's going through your head?
Hard on.
You said hard-ons. So what's going through your head the first time?
Honestly, I thought Whoa, am I gonna do this? Am I jump off this cliff? Oh, wow, I'm really wearing a burqa right now. Holy shit. Am I gonna do the accent? Should I do the accent? I don't know.
Course, you gotta do the accent.
I didn't though. I did. I was more just
You're a
kind of like,
bullshit actress, Cal. You gotta do the
I
fucking
know.
accent.
I know. But you know, we made it through. This sex was great because in your 30s, you're in your sexual prime. So I kind of feel like a perv on these sets because I'm like, yes, I'm ready to fuck. Because I'm not getting it out here in these streets. There's not enough men that want to eat my jizzy pussy. So.
Hey, look, I just sent you a picture of Don Fry. So look at that picture and tell him if you want him to do it, because he'll come, he'll fly from Tucson. Now,
I
have
love
you
horses and I like Tucson and farms. So
ever had a guy not be able to get a boner on set?
I know who you are. Oh my God.
I'm
Hello,
talking
Don.
to
Hi,
you, Don.
Daddy.
Don, you ever have a guy not be able to get a boner? Kel, have you ever had a guy not be able to get a boner on set?
I was an extra when a guy couldn't, and it was his first time, and they took a chance on him because he was this like tall guy. He looked kind of like a Miami like poppy, and I hear him like going, oh, and like slapping the walls in the bathroom, and then he storms out, and he's like, "I gotta go."
Don, how embarrassing was that for you?
I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed for him, but
Wait, why are you an extra in a porno?
I'm an extra in a porno all the time. Guess who can improvise?
What do you mean? Like, so you
I'm a
just walk in the
cuck.
background and like.
Sometimes I'm a cuck. Like I was a therapist, and I'm like, okay, you need to work through your daughter-daddy issues, and we do that by yes, having sex. And of course, it's daughter-daddy, but it's like stepdad,
Right. Yeah,
stepdaughter.
of course.
Of course, yeah, you know, keep it above board. So yeah, I for me too, like being on set is just it's like a new experience and it's super fun and I like money. So
Now,
they're like,
some porn stars say it's actually not that much fun because you got to be in different positions and you have to put your leg up and it's not that comfortable. And then the
yeah.
guy is not supposed to pop early, because if he pops early, the whole set is
Yeah.
like, is that true or you're just loving it?
No, like I 100%. I don't think I'm the best porn star. Like I'm not like as conscious as I should be of like how my body is. I'm better now, but like I think I'm like the personality higher and like I have a good bond. So like that's what helps me win. I'm trying to be better about like if I watch my earlier porn, I probably shouldn't say this.
By the way, she started last week. So everybody.
I'm like, ooh, wow, Kel, you really. I also was going through a tough time and I gained weight and I was drinking
Yeah.
too
But
much.
by the way, I hate to interrupt, but I just found Jesus and I have to go.
No.
Anyway, but I do have to go.
I
But Cal, you know I love you. Have fun.
love you.
See you, Don. See
You're
you.
the
Don.
best.
See you
No, he's the
later.
best. So Kel, now your guys aren't supposed to pop early, right? Because then it fucks up the whole, and by like pop, I mean not early, messes up the whole set.
Yeah.
Everyone has to leave. Has
Yeah.
that now? Is it hard to get a guy now? But you want to look hot, so isn't that tough? Because like a guy's banging you, and he's trying not to come, and but you're trying to make him come, or like.
Yeah. No, that it is kind of like a fun game to be like, because I really enjoy sex. And so that part is fun for me. But you're right. Like, but there are so many like tips or like tricks and tools that you can use to get around certain things. But like people love seeing like the come out of the dick. And that's the interesting part about doing porn is like you learn about all these fetishes. Like I just did this Nuru massage scene and I found out because you use this like glycerin type of like seaweed gel and they like the webs. So it's like the strings that come when you're moving your body up and down and up and down because you're like massaging with your body. I feel in like I'm in men's heads and it's scary.
Don, you have any questions for Kel Fire?
Let's see. Where do you buy it? Where do you buy that seaweed gel at, anyways?
It's called Nuru Massage Gel, and I'm sure you can find it on Amazon.
The seaweed gel.
But maybe I could bring a special delivery to you, to your
Yeah,
apartment.
bring some fish hooks too. We'll go fishing.
Now,
You love the smell of fish, huh?
I ate some fish earlier. Had some salmon.
Fish. What kind of fish, Don?
Had some hard salmon.
I love salmon,
A week
especially.
old. I leave it out of the refrigerator for a week. That way it gets nice and pungent.
Yes.
I don't know what is going on here. I'm gonna try to get this back on track a little bit. Kel Fire, now you're doing great. You're kicking ass. Now, your comedy career, how's because a lot of times you'll be like, who wants to go home with me? So,
Yeah.
and then like, are we allowed to what's going on with that?
Okay. Yeah. No, like it's the intention is there. Like I
Yes.
want that to happen, but there are steps. So right now I'm working on doing it in a way where I can build it and it will be a tour and I can actually take a guy home. Obviously, they have to like sign NDA or like sign like a release and be OnlyFans verified and be willing to be on camera and be interviewed and all these things. So it's really gonna weigh out, the
Because the thing
pussy.
is, like, so Don, I booked this. I haven't been there in like 2 years, but I booked this comedy club at this small little bar. And Kel goes on stage, funny as hell, talks about how basically she got arrested for stalking her boyfriend and was served, her ex-boyfriend. And it's this whole
Oh,
story.
no, I didn't stalk him. Let's strike that from
Lovely, lovely.
the docket. I got a DUI in Georgia, okay?
Yeah.
And that's what happened.
Yeah,
No stalking.
she got
He
to know. She got
stalked
it.
me.
He was stalking her. It was a bad breakup. And she talks about this whole story, and it's hilarious. And then at the end, she's like, "Who wants to go home with me?" And she goes home with, but she goes home with her friend who came to see her, right? But
I
so
planted him in the audience.
it was a plant, right? So she puts it
Yeah.
online, and it gets like a billion hits. Next thing I know, the next week, all these strange men show up of like look like they just crawled out from a fucking hole, like, and I'm like, oh no. So they're all like thinking that they're gonna go home with her, which I was like, this is
Well,
actually really
why would they do that?
So then like that's her. So now she puts it on TikTok, and the amount of like negative, you get like a lot of people going, you're beautiful, you're gorgeous, oh my God. But then you get people like, this isn't comedy and fuck you. And do you just filter it out? You just don't care?
I don't like I screenshot a lot of them, honestly, because I think it's fascinating and like nobody is gonna like be, I don't know, as negative as I used to be. So honestly, like all of this is just a blessing, whether it's like negative comments or not, it's good for the algorithm. And I'm like, they don't know. They don't know me like you know me and like Josh, and that's why the dime has been so incredible for me and going through the ups and downs of comedy, and now I feel like okay, I'm finding my voice and it's so exciting. But yeah, it honestly it motivates me to show that like okay, I have a jizzy pussy, but also I'm really funny and I
You don't
own
have a
it.
jizzy pussy. That's
No.
a, okay, your pussy's, I'm sure it's fine. I've never, I mean, I've seen it online.
I, you know what? Also, it's just like I'll let people think whatever they want. My true peeps will know like that I got fairy dust in my pussy and it's great and tight.
Fairy
It's
dust.
tight.
Don, you ever have fairy dust in a pussy before?
No, I don't think so.
Not yet, Dawn. I'm gonna come out to that. I'm gonna bring you that new room massage oil and I'm gonna get y'all. We're gonna wrestle with the massage oil.
Bring a bucket of fairy dust and a gallon of oil.
Yeah, and we're gonna eat. I'm gonna feed you salmon. I'm just dangle it over your beautiful mustache and hope some of the pieces get into it.
This is the
Come
greatest. This is the
on,
greatest.
lick it out.
I can leave. I feel like I'm in a hotel room and there's literally a cuck chair there. And that's what I feel like right now. I'm like on the cuck chair.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Sometimes I just go into that mode. I'm like, where am I? Am I on porn set? It's just, it happens.
No, I knew a guy that told me he used to he was like double penetration. So he would put two, him and his friend or the porn star would put their penises in a girl. And I'm like, dude, isn't that kind of weird that like you're touching a penis with your penis? And he was
Yeah.
like, well, it's like sports. You just got to play your position.
Yes.
Is
Yes.
no, I don't think that you're bisexual or a lesbian, but you do have like girl, two girl guy scenes. Is that weird?
I don't think it's weird, but also like I've always but I think it is, it's true. It's like with athletes, like we have a different tolerance of pain and excitement. And so I think that's why like athletes or like dancers love porn, because it's like these you get to reach these new heights and you get to do it in a safe way and it's organized for you. And so like I love that. He's like, I just am playing my position, because what an interesting it could like if you detach the man from the penis, it's just flesh and it's making that pussy tighter. So how's that sounds nice to me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm more of an individual sport person, so
Yeah.
that's but I can understand, I mean, good for him.
Yeah.
I just couldn't do it. Like my when I was in college, my buddy was like, we should. I had sex with this girl, and my buddy's like, you mind if I do it? And I was like, all right. And then when I saw him naked, I just like hid in the corner in like the fetal position and started crying. I just couldn't, I still have a little bit of a, I couldn't do it. But other guys are, they can, for
Yeah.
each his own, it's just not me.
100%, 100%. And also it's like porn is performance.
What do you think about the Christy Gnome's husband fake boobs? Have you heard about that?
I am so in my own like.
Right, so Christy Gnome, who was used to be the head of ICE,
Yes.
Border Patrol. So it turns out her husband ha is a cross dresser,
Yes.
and he's been putting, and he's part of this like big boob fetish community of, and he's been photographed and on video sending girls pictures of him with enormous tits and red spandex. Don, what do you think about Don? You always had a crush on Christy Gnome. Is this your time to make the move or what?
Yeah, man, she got me desperate by now. She'll even lower herself to my level. Yeah.
What now? Do you get what kind of weird request do you get, Kel?
Yeah, there, I mean, the fetishes, they span oceans. Like, it's crazy, like, how varied it is. But I think the most interesting request came in the beginning of my career, and it was a guy that I went to college with that I hadn't thought about in years. And of course, he saw my work and he's like, I actually have a fecal fetish.
Oh.
Would you be willing
Oh.
to, it's like zooming in on you, be basically, he would be like my human toilet. And I said, I'm Jew. I have like a weak stomach. I already have problems with constipation. Like, I just don't
He
think
wanted
I'm.
you to shit on him?
Yeah. And he wanted me to shit and send him my shit so he could eat it.
Oh, God.
No kink shaming. But yeah,
Don, is there any hope for the future?
it's intense.
No, we're done.
I just think people. I think it's like people that grew up like maybe like a Christian or like having to be perfect, or Mormons. They need such a crazy shadow side, which I guess is like eating shit. I don't know.
I
The
mean,
psychology of it is really fascinating. It's better than murdering people. Like, if you gotta eat
is it
shit.
though? Is it? I mean, I feel like if certain people that you murder.
Kill somebody, then eat somebody's shit.
I mean, let's say you murdered, O.J. Simpson, or you murdered somebody that deserved to be murdered, versus
Yeah.
eating someone's shit,
I'd
So
rather eat shit than go to prison for life, though, so.
I thought, yeah, I guess. I don't know. It's kind of a,
All
Yeah,
right,
it's a
well.
terrible thought experiment, and but yeah, so that's one of the weirder requests that I
Well,
got.
Hellfire, you've been a delight. You're so sweet, so fun, so funny. Where can people find you?
It's Kelfire on Instagram and across all platforms, ITSKELLFIRE.
Yes.
And obviously you can find me on like Pornhub and all the things and OnlyFans. It's
Yeah.
Kelfire.
And Don, anything you want to plug coming up aside from Kelfire?
Yeah, don't shit on me.
Well, thank you guys. Happy Easter. And thank you very much. And you guys are the best.
You're
Take
the
care.
best. This was awesome. Bye.